Hello and welcome to another edition of Critical Q&A, the show where I answer your questions that you've left for me in the comments section of my Q&A videos or have sent to me by email at askchrisshelton@gmail.com. I've got a lot of questions to answer. I wanted to first say that I have been getting some really nice comments from you guys in some of the videos I've been posting, very complimentary things you've said about me and my work, and I just wanted to take a moment and acknowledge you for that. Because there's so many that for me to just go through the comments and say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you is a little ridiculous. And I feel like when you guys post things to me, I want to answer you because I really appreciate you taking the time to leave me a comment. And it actually does mean something to me, and I do see all of them. They come through my email, and I look at those, and I appreciate it a lot. So I just want you to know that I hear you and I appreciate it. So, along that line, there was a comment left for me by Dreaming Cat Studio that was very significant to me, and I wanted to read it to you. So I'm going to read that comment out loud. Hi, Chris. I enjoy your videos so much. I've never been involved with a cult, but I'm interested in the psychological states, for example, vulnerability or disconnection from meaning and purpose, that can be the precursors for otherwise intelligent and healthy people to get sucked in, because there are other life experiences, working for a corporation, social pressure, that can have similar results as a cult experience. I call your approach critical thinking with a heart, because while being meticulous to provide facts about damaging and hurtful Scientology practices, you're not demonizing the people involved. You have empathy and understanding. I try to practice nonviolent communication, and your approach is very in line with those principles. I wanted to share how something has shifted for me. At first, I started watching your videos with a sense of righteous outrage. How dare those Scientologists do that to people? They're evil, sadistic, horrible, should be arrested, locked up, punished. While I am still deeply disturbed, sad, and angry at the harm many are still experiencing in that cult, and still believe they should be held accountable for their actions, through self-examination, I'm also copying to some similar behavior in my own life. There are times when I blindly follow or believe something because I feel like it, or because I feel pressured into it, and it's easier to not make waves rather than examine it. There are times when I take an us versus them stance, because I feel safer judging and labeling others rather than acknowledging my own feelings. There are times when I try to influence other people's opinion and actions because I think I'm right and they're wrong. Slowly, the hard, sharp line between me and Scientologists has gotten softer and more blurred, not because I endorse or excuse their hurtful behavior, but because I see better now how people can get involved and even do harm to others. You totally get what I am saying, and I really appreciated that comment. Because it is exactly what I have been trying to get across to people through, a lot of the work that I've been doing, that, you know, the line is a little blurry, and that just because people are in a destructive cult like Scientology doesn't mean that we should be looking at them and laughing them as though they're, people in a zoo or something. Them is us and us is them. And I think that if we can have more empathy and understanding for people in those situations, we can actually do something to help them and keep ourselves in a state of mind where we want to help them, without at the same time excusing any human trafficking, violence, abuses. I mean, stuff like that needs to get punished. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be some, pacifist or something where, turn the other cheek and when people are doing bad things, they should be, given a pass. I'm just saying that it's nice to see that, the ideas and messages I've been putting out there about tolerance and understanding are hitting home. So thank you very much for that, Dreaming Cat Studio. And now, let's get on with some questions for this week. Gregory Oliveri. I have noticed that there are a number of people who identify themselves as independent Scientologists, as if there is in fact something immutably valid to salvage of the system outside of the Church of Scientology. I'm curious to know what this means if, as we now know, the whole system was based on the derivative musings of a narcissistic madman, now perpetuated by a dangerous sociopath. Is it simply the belief in the therapeutic practice of auditing and an intermediate point of transitioning away from the system. Mr. Spock, what do you think of people like Mark Rathbun who still believe and practice Scientology and people like that? Thank you for your work. Carry on. Well, independent Scientologists are people who practice the techniques and methods of Scientology outside of the official sanction of the Church of Scientology, which is a corporate entity that holds the trademarks and service marks of Dianetics and Scientology, and so they have legal right to have the only legal right to be, you know, selling those services under those names. That's what I understand that to mean. So when you have independent Scientologists, they're out doing the, you know, the procedures and whatnot, but they're not, they don't have the blessing of David Miscavige, L. Ron Hubbard, or the church. And in fact, Hubbard was real, you know, death on these kind of people. He always referred to them as squirrels. He used the term squirrels because he talked about the idea of these nutty people, you know, out looking for nuts, running in a wheel all the time, you know, like a hamster wheel, and just spinning their wheels, not getting anywhere, right? That was his derisive sort of attitude about people who weren't getting him money for his, you know, deceptive practices. And anyway, so that was that. That's where that sort of comes from. As far as my take on it goes, I think that it's a phase of the recovery of coming out of the cult of Scientology, that you still hold on to certain of the beliefs and cling to the idea that there's some value to the unique methods and techniques of Scientology as a therapy. And, you know, for a certain percentage of people, there is a limited workability in what Hubbard derived from other sources. And, you know, Dianetics, as I've said, is a, I kind of call it a regression therapy. You know, you go back and remember things that happened to you in the past. And I think that has some therapeutic value for some people. And there are some Scientology techniques that people just swear by, you know. And I think there's some placebo effect there going on. And I think that there is, you know, to be slightly judgmental, I think that there is an unwillingness to have considered that that they could have been conned for that long, that they have to hold on to some part of it or some aspect of it and be right about the fact that, you know, that something they did couldn't be wholly wrong, you know. I think there's a certain degree of that going on with independent Scientologists as well. And otherwise, other than that, I think that it's just a phase that people go through in coming out of Scientology that hopefully they'll be able to move on from, you know, because as I understand it, most people who come out of Scientology come out, you know, with the idea that the organization is bad or Miscavige is bad or, you know, they're doing things that aren't okay because they're going against the writings of Hubbard. And it's, you know, it's a phase because you come out and then you start researching it and you find out that Hubbard was just as bad and was just as nuts. And then you start kind of going, you start questioning everything. And I think some independent Scientologists are not willing to let themselves go there and are not willing to acknowledge the, you know, the really gross and glaring outnesses, the things that Hubbard was up to, the lies he was telling. They're not willing to take that extra step and go, okay, well, this whole thing is just a con. You know, it's just the whole thing is just a disaster. And really was unfortunate that I was ever part of any of it, and I should just walk away and sort of flush it out of my system and move on. So, you know, I don't hold it against anyone that they do that at all. I, you know, I got nothing on that. People can do whatever they want to with their lives. You know, at least the thing that can be said about independent Scientologists is at least they're not Sea Org members, they're not engaging in human trafficking, they're not engaging in active, you know, knowing deceit of their fellow man. You know, I think there's a certain degree of deceit going on when they're charging for, you know, Scientology services and whatnot. But, you know, that's between them and their customers, buyer beware, and that sort of thing. So I think it's, I don't look at independent Scientologists as evil people or carrying on in the tradition of Hubbard or something like that. I don't have that view of them. So I think that's about the best explanation I can give of that whole thing. Lichen Anana Moss. Hello, Chris. I enjoy and subscribe to your YouTube channel. As an ex-public, I am under the radar at present. I developed a physical condition and have used that as to why I can't be on course, on the Purif, on staff, etc. Could you give some tips on those souls who may feel the need to back out rather than speak out? I've heard you say that speaking out is what makes an impact, but most of us know when that time is right. I know I'll lose friends, or maybe not, but nonetheless, I have chosen to do so quietly. There certainly isn't anything wrong with quietly backing away from Scientology and just gradually getting it out of your life. And that certainly beats, you know, continuing to pretend or continuing to practice it or something like that and going to their stupid events and having to sit and endure the endless hours of reg cycles as IAS vultures or, you know, the org registrars try to sell you more and more of Hubbard's nonsense. You know, it's perfectly fine to just back out slowly and just get away from it. I have actually talked about speaking out publicly or speaking out as much for the sake of the person as for the sake of humanity. In other words, I felt that it was a big part of my own healing process and recovery process from Scientology to speak out publicly about it. And that's one reason why I encourage other people to do it is for your own good, you know. Now, it's not required by any stretch at all, and I got no problem with people who just leave, you know, and quietly and don't make a big fuss about it. But I do think it would help the world at large also for, you know, everybody who comes out to say so and to put themselves out there on the line and say, you know, this is evil and it's not, you know, it did this and this and this to my life. And it wasn't helpful to me, and they deceived me by doing A, B, and C, and, you know, that sort of thing. I think people telling their stories is helpful to the world at large. It also helps warn other people to not get involved with it in the first place, because while I'm sure their new membership figures are not great, I'm sure there are still people out there who fall for this crap. And the more of us who are out here talking against it, the better chance we have of reaching those people before they get involved and sort of head them off at the pass. But that all being said, I have no problem whatsoever with people just backing out quietly for the sake of keeping their connections, their family, their friends. Totally, totally understand that and why a person would do that. And you're absolutely right that the timing of any, you know, speaking out or anything like that is 100% in your court. It is not up to me to tell you how to live your life. So that's what I have to say about that. Kath T. Hi, Chris. Thanks for your great videos. In this video, you're talking about your time in the RPF. In the book, Going Clear, I got the impression that during the RPF, you sleep in some crummy place, but I think you said you were married at that time. Were you able to go home at night to your wife? Many thanks. No, I was not able to go home to my wife. I think I have said before, and it certainly has been pretty clearly stated about the RPF, that you are segregated from the rest of the Sea Org members in your own place, apart from everybody else. That's what segregated means. And it is a 24/7 operation when you're on the RPF. You are completely separated from everyone else, except the rest of the RPF. You cannot speak with anybody outside of the RPF unless you are spoken to first. You cannot eat with them. There are no holidays. There are no vacations. There are no days off. There is you are on quarter pay. And so a quarter pay of $50 a week means that the most you're going to make on the RPF is $12 a week. You are doing 5 hours of what's called redemption or study and auditing a day, and the rest of the time is spent running from place to place, not walking, and doing hard physical labor. The RPF is not a 9-to-5 operation. So, you know, you can Google this and find out more about it. If you want to, I'm sure there's a Wikipedia article about it. But, you know, just because a person is married doesn't give them any pass whatsoever on the RPF. You are separated from your wife or your husband or your kids and your family and everybody else for the entire time that you're on the RPF. It is very rare that somebody get time off from the RPF for any reason whatsoever, including whether a family member dies, holidays, no, forget it. You're not getting any holidays off. There's none of that. So it is like being in prison, which is why I think I made the analogy that RPF is the Sea Org's prison system, because that's what it's like. So, and there are no conjugal visits. There you go. Heather Botez. Great work as always, Chris. You're so warm and well-spoken. I would take every college course you offered if you were a professor. Question. I realized through reading a piece of Blue Sky that a lot of L. Ron's conspiracy theories still persist today on the internet. I have met many people who believe in a prison planet, the Illuminati, etc. Since the verbiage is the same for these theories, did they come from L. Ron's paranoid ramblings? Are some of the people perpetuating these ideas former Scientologists, or were they influenced by Dennehy years ago? Thank you very much for your compliment there. You know, maybe someday I'll give some college classes and you can come. As far as Hubbard's conspiracy theories, no, it's kind of the other way around. Hubbard gathered up all of his conspiracy theories from the news and from, you know, books and things like that. And he developed this kind of bizarre, you know, whatever other, you know, places he got these ideas from. And he sort of developed this bizarre world conspiracy of 12 men who, you know, oversaw all the operations on the entire planet. And they used the media, and psychiatry was their enforcement arm. You know, if they didn't like somebody or they wanted somebody, you know, gotten out of the way, then the psychiatrist would be set loose and that person would be locked up and electroshocked and, you know, put out of their misery and this kind of thing, or be doped up on psychiatric drugs and sort of left for dead and this kind of thing. I mean, it just goes on and on. Now, shortly after this started coming out of Hubbard's mouth, this was in 1967 that Hubbard started talking about this. He put up some other articles about it, and I think it was 1970 or 71 that a book came out called None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which had nothing to do with Scientology at all. It was written by a guy who used to be a reporter, or, you know, media guy. And this talked about, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations and the, you know, CFR and the Trilateral Commission and the Rockefellers and this whole thing. And then this was another big world conspiracy thing that was put out in this book. And that's not the earliest work on world conspiracies at all. The Illuminati is a very, very old idea that goes back for many, many, many decades. So Hubbard's whole thing, you know, I think Alex Jones has a website he calls prisonplanet.com, which I think you're talking about here in this question. And I don't think Alex Jones ever had anything to do with Scientology at all. There's no connection I'm aware of. But Alex Jones would certainly be the kind of guy who would suck up Hubbard's, you know, world conspiracies. But those conspiracy theories have been around for many, many decades, and they were not invented by or unique to Hubbard at all. I think the only thing that was really unique about them, as far as Hubbard goes, was the idea that psychiatry was the enforcement arm of these 12 men, and that they were purposefully using that to erode educational standards and influence people, like, you know. For example, he said one time that I think Henry Luce's wife, Henry Luce was the guy who owned Time magazine, and Hubbard said that Henry Luce's wife was an LSD addict or a drug addict because her psychiatrist made her so, and they did that specifically in order to control Henry Luce and therefore control the contents of Time magazine. And, you know, if you know how things work in the real world, that's just ludicrous. You know, that's not how things get done. There are, you know, big money does exist, big pharma, big gun, big this, big that. I mean, there are, you know, massive corporations with lots and lots of money who do not have any problem throwing their influence around in order to, you know, shape things to their advantage. But to take that and then draw connections and connect dots that don't connect between all these massive corporations and the idea that they're all controlling the world. That's where I go, no. We went a little too far there. So anyway, I don't think Hubbard was behind a lot of modern day conspiracy theory. Pi Wacket 33. As I understand it, you were removed from Scientology, you did not rout out, and you did not blow, you were asked to leave, right? If that's true, where do you think you'd be now had you not been told to leave? Would you still be in, do you think? In the RPF? An independent Scientologist, or do you think you'd have left of your own accord by now? I have no idea what it was that I ever said or did that gave you the impression that I was asked to leave Scientology, but that is 100% not the case. I routed out of Scientology of my own accord, on my own origination. I told them I quit. And I did that very formally and very correctly. And it took me 9 months of waiting around and getting their sec checks and cooperating with them in order to get them to allow me to leave the Sea Org in a way that I wasn't going to be declared a suppressive person or anything like that. I wanted to be in good standing with the church when I left. And I was. And, you know, what happened after that is they decided to, because I was in the Sea Org and I left the Sea Org, they decided that I needed to be treated as a second-class citizen because that's what they do to people who are in the Sea Org and who leave. And that created enough outrage with me that I went on the internet and found out the truth of Scientology. And it was all, you know, sort of downhill from there as far as my Scientology loyalty went. And so that's how I got out of Scientology altogether, and I ended up being declared a suppressive person as a result of speaking out publicly against it. But before that whole thing, before all that happened, I left because I said I wanted to leave the Sea Org, and that's how that happened. Mojo Risen. Thank you, Chris, for all that you do. My question is, if there's ever been a petition-type attempt at having Scientology's IRS tax-exempt status reviewed, is that even possible? What can we common folk do to help with something like this? Thanks in advance. Yeah, there was a petition being submitted shortly after Going Clear came out, actually. So you're a little bit late on the scene here because there was a petition being circulated on whitehouse.gov or whatever to get the IRS to review Scientology's tax-exempt status. That petition did not get enough signatures to go through, but more to the point, even if it had, that wasn't what was needed in order to get Scientology's tax exemption revoked. What is needed is pressure on Congress to get them, to get the IRS to act. Alex Gibney recently took this up on the AMA that he did on Reddit, and he said, and I'll just forward his message on it, which is that we need to be pressuring our congressmen and our representatives to take action on this. And they're really, you know, the way you do that is you write them a letter. You send them an email, you give them a call, you make your voice be heard. It's not that hard, it doesn't take that long, and it does matter if you do this. So if you're watching this right now, please do find out who your local congressman is and email or write them and let them know that you're not okay with the Church of Scientology having tax exemption for all the reasons that they shouldn't have it. You know, Alex Gibney said that he thought that the IRS was embarrassed right now about the fact that Scientology was given such free rein to, commit their abuses, but not embarrassed enough to really start taking action against them yet. And it's going to take, you know, a kind of a mandate from us, the people, raising enough of a stink about it to get these politicians and the IRS to act on this. It's just how it is, you know. So if you want to see action on this, make your voice be heard and encourage others to do the same, kind of like I'm doing right now. And so I've reached the end of the questions for this week. Thank you very much for your support. And I do want to say that if you value what I'm doing here and you think that it is important and worthy of continuance, and you want to see more of what I'm doing, because there's lots of other things I could be doing on this channel to bring out more about Scientology and other matters, please consider giving me some support. I have a Patreon campaign going, Patreon page, which is, the link is below on this. And I also have other means of support, and it really, really helps. And it really does matter when you guys support me. It really does help me a lot, and helps me get the projects done that I want to get done faster. Eventually I'll get everything done, I think, but it would certainly be nice if I could get it done a lot faster. So anyway, thank you very much for your questions. Feel free to comment away on anything that I'm saying or any other questions that you have for me. And I look forward to getting those, and I will see you next week. Thank you for watching.